Hey everyone, welcome to Gaming Steve. I'm your host, Steve Glicker, coming to you from LA. Today is Wednesday, and I'm covering the first day of E3. Sorry for the super late podcast. It is actually midnight here at LA, and I had a very long, busy, tiring day. But I wanted to throw something up for all you guys so you can hear about my experiences and what I thought of the day. So let's get right to it, shall we? So I got there, as usual. It starts at 10, and I always try to get there early because there's always a million lines and security and whatnot, and this year was no different. Actually, the one thing different was security was lax. In the past, they've had to make sure and go through your bags like crazy, but this year, actually, there was three doors into the entrance, and two doors, everyone was waiting online and they were going through people's bags, and I just opened up the third door and just walked right in. So instead of having to wait in line for half an hour, I just walked right in, and then about 50 people followed me, and then I just went right into the conference. But I got there pretty much on time. I got in the conference maybe 2 minutes after it started. And when you were walking to E3 for the very first time, it is pretty much like getting punched in the face about 10 times in a row, because it is so loud and the sensory overload is unbelievable. And I have to remember, I'm from New York. I live in New York City. I go to Times Square and I consider it boring. So for me to say that this is sensory overload, I know my friends who have never been to E3, they actually takes them a day or two just to even comprehend it sometimes. So it is pretty unbelievable, even though I go to this year after year. When you first walk in, it's just so much noise and energy and insanity, and plus everything is so bassy, and it really is. It is just like it's just getting punched in the face. It's quite astounding how much is going on, and it just takes you pretty much a day to comprehend everything. And I was reading some other websites, and even they're saying similar things. It's just, you just can't cover it all because there's just too much. And just to give you an idea, what I normally do is the first day, I just usually just walk around. I mean, that's pretty much what I do almost for the first 4 or 5 hours. It's just, there's just so much. And it just takes you that long to just sort of take it all in and figure out what the heck is going on. And then usually the second and third day, I usually sit down and play the games and talk to people more. So, anyhow, I went to the PC area. I was going to try to go to the console area first, but the console area is like a 10-minute walk away, 5 to 10-minute walk, depending on the crowds. So I was near the PC area, and some of my friends were there to begin with, so I just went into there. And from there, I just sort of walked around and just sort of, you know, took a survey of what was what, and went to the EA booth and went to Blizzard's booth and Activision's, and I'll tell you a little bit more about them. But the big one is that Xbox and Microsoft is actually in the PC area, believe it or not, because they couldn't get a booth big enough in the console area. When Sega used to be in the console area, but when Sega stopped making Dreamcast, some other people took up that booth space, and Microsoft was already in the PC area, so they sort of made the PC area their quote console area, if that makes sense to you. Anyhow, the Xbox booth is usually pretty good, and last year was really good. It was actually, I thought, an excellent booth. And I mean by booth as in the actual design of the booth. And this year, I have to tell you, the Xbox booth was, it's pretty crappy. I mean, I'm actually pretty surprised. I don't know what the other people are saying, but it's really not that impressive. It's 2 stories tall. The bottom is where there's Xbox games, and quite frankly, most of these are standard Xbox games. Most of them are games I saw last year, so there really was nothing new. There's some new things. I'll go through those later, but right now, there's just like, you know, it wasn't that much. In the very back, there are some Xbox 360 games, and then there's an upstairs, and if you go upstairs, there's meeting rooms up there, but otherwise there's nothing up there. You can go up there. It's actually kind of nice to hang out and view, but there was literally in the very beginning, like at 10:30, there was just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people waiting in line to go upstairs, walk across the platform, and then downstairs. And that's it. And then by the end of the day, there was no one up there because everyone realized there's nothing up there unless you have a meeting. So It's kind of surprising. The Xbox 360 is almost nowhere to be found. You can't really play it. I mean, you can kind of play it if you want. There's a back area. It's called the media area. It's hard to understand because it says media only, but normal people can go back there, and it's sort of roped off. But you can't really just go up and grab a controller and play. They have people sort of demoing the game, and they have to give you a controller. But I'm just looking at my notes, so... of the games that you could play, Call of Duty 2 was there, and that one was actually pretty good. I have to admit, the graphics look quite amazing. And anything you've seen online of the videos, I mean, that's what you should expect to see. I mean, I'm not seeing anything different than you are, quite frankly. And I'm going to go into that a little bit more detail soon. But that looked very good. Call of Duty 2 looked pretty amazing. Kamino Elements of Power by Rare looked absolutely exactly the same. It was even the exact same level I played last year. I mean, it was updated a bit, but it was the exact same level I played. I couldn't believe it. So that was kind of a disappointment. Need for Speed, Most Wanted, that's playable too. That looked quite good. Actually, there's quite a few racing games out for the next gens that they showed just for PS3 as well as the Xbox. And the racing games really did look excellent. And that one really did look good. And then the other ones, there was like a tennis game. And the other games, they really were nothing special, quite frankly. I mean, they kind of, unfortunately, I'd say they look like first generation, you know, next generation games. They look like launch titles. I mean, they, you know, it's kind of hit or miss, and it's going to take them a little while to get used to the technology. There was a demo. There's actually two stations. You can sit there and just watch demo loops of some of the games. And it's just pre-canned information. It's just sort of watching a videotape in a way. Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion. That looked beautiful. And by looked, as in the actual graphics, that looked absolutely fantastic. That one was a big one. Dead or Alive 4. That looked quite good, too. That really was nice. And then a lot of other games are sort of strange. There were some kid games mixed in there, too. It is interesting, though, because all the monitors and displays are, you know, incredibly, they're HD, obviously. They're really bright, and it's a kind of a dark area to begin with, and they really stand out. I mean, you could definitely see a huge difference when you look at the HD monitors. So anyhow, I went to the Xbox booth, and quite frankly, I was not impressed. You know, last year was really good. I mean, last year it was a packed booth. There was a lot of new games. You know, Fable was there. There was the Rare games were there. I mean, there was just tons. Doom 3. Like, you know, there was just one game after another. And Jade Empire, you know, it was a great booth to be in. And this year, it's just Xbox games that you wonder if anyone's even going to buy. The Xbox 360 games. There's a couple of them. And they look like launch titles. And it just is kind of a huge, kind of sparse-looking booth. There's some pictures of the Xbox 360, which is kind of cool. There's actually Xbox 360s that are behind glass and that you can take pictures of and see. And I actually took some pictures of. And it looks pretty good. And then there's the actual faceplates. Like, you could actually change the faceplates, and they show about 10 different types. And the one thing I did get to do is I did get to use the new controller. I will say the new Xbox 360 controller is actually very nice. It actually might be smaller than the current Xbox S controller. It felt a smidge smaller, and it's definitely lighter. It definitely doesn't have the kind of heft the other one does. But quite frankly, I kind of liked that kind of lighter feel to it. And it was nice. I mean, it felt like a really, really good controller. It does have the wire attached to it, so I guess that's an option. Also because they also don't want anyone to steal these things. So the ones at E3 all have wires. So after I went to the... Let me just look at my notes. My notes are all over the place, so you're going to be hearing me rumbling these papers quite a bit. And right after I went there, I got a phone call from my friends saying that they were over at PlayStation, and they were on the PlayStation 3 line, and if I wanted to come over and join them. So I was like, great, and ran over to the other hall, the console area hall. And when I got there, it was something interesting is that the hallway, the lights were all out and the cafeteria was closed. There's this one major cafeteria called the Galaxy Cafe. Most people eat there. It was closed. The place was deserted. And I found that the power blew. I mean, that was pretty unbelievable that the power actually blew out part of the convention center. Not the actual main hall, but could you imagine? Not the actual, like, where the consoles are, but could you imagine if that lost power? I mean, at GDC, we lost power once a couple years ago. So, but, oh, man, that would have been, that would be bad. So, anyhow, I got to the PlayStation 3 booth, and at the very back of the booth there's a line to see the PS3. So we wait in line. This is actually my friends from Blizzard. We're hanging out for a good half hour or so, just chatting, and the line was actually nice and short because it was still early, and by the time we got there the line was probably hours long. So we go upstairs, you go up to the booth, you go to the back, and man, these guys, if anyone out there, listen, Sony, I love you guys, and I love the PlayStation, but man, that demo stunk. I mean, seriously, it was a room you walked into, you actually saw a video, the first 5 minutes of the video, again, it was beautiful HD, the first 5 minutes of the video was them talking about, oh, you can be in New York, or you can be in Antarctica, or you can be in Australia, and you might as well be across the street, and it was all connectivity, and talking about a new generation, and, you know, all this stuff, and I'm looking at my friends, and they're all looking around, everyone's like, where's the games? And then eventually they say, you know, PlayStation 3, and then they show the exact same video. In fact, it wasn't even the exact same video. The video that you've probably seen, the E3 PS3 video, it's all these numbers, I'm getting a little confused, where they show, you know, Killzone 2 and, you know, all these other games. The loop went one after another. It's the exact same video. In fact, it wasn't even the exact same video. It was cut. Believe it or not, they actually had sections cut, and they showed the Rockstar game, which looked like it was a sequel to their Western game for the PS2, which name escapes me right now because I have jet lag and I'm exhausted and really have to go to sleep soon. They showed maybe 2-3 seconds of it, and when they cut it early and they went to the next game, there was actually people in the audience that actually complained. You actually heard them all go, oh man, things like that. So after that we left, and everyone sort of looked at each other and said, that's it, that's all they showed. It's like, at least they could have like had someone there actually playing the Xbox 3 and showing it off to people live instead of just pre-canned 10-minute video that was, half of it was just gobbledygook talking about connectivity and showing pictures of, you know, buildings and parts of the world, that who the heck cares. Anyhow, you did see I took some very nice pictures, I think, of the PS3. There was behind glass, you could actually see it was there, and I took some pictures, and then sort of you go down into the booth, and that was it. So everyone I know, the word was spreading that the PS3 really wasn't all that great, the demo at least they're showing. So, you know, we went there, we then walked around the console area, and I was kind of, you know, by then I was kind of stunned because we were there for about an hour and a half or so, and I was already at the Xbox booth, and I was pretty unimpressed, and usually that booth is great. I was at the Sony booth. I actually didn't walk around the booth yet that much. I kind of walked right through it, but I was unimpressed by the PS3 demo. Again, I'm not unimpressed by any of the games or the, you know, actually what it looks like, nothing like that. I'm just unimpressed with what they're showing us at the actual expo. And then we walked around a bit, went through the Nintendo booth. The Nintendo booth actually looked pretty nice, as usual. They usually do a pretty good job because they won't show, some of these booths, they'll show every single game that they will launch no matter what, while Nintendo usually shows their best games. It's almost like they don't have quite as much, but their quality is usually much higher. So their booth was nice and open this year, too. There wasn't huge, last couple of years they've had walls up, and there's only like one or two entrances, and then their booth already is crowded to begin with, but then you put up these walls and forget it, it's like a madhouse. But it was really nice and open, it was a lot easier to get around. They saw that new Micro Game Boy Advance, which looks awesome, and it's so tiny, it's unbelievable. It actually looks like a cell phone, a small cell phone, and I wouldn't be surprised if they can turn that thing into a cell phone, and then they give the NVIDIA, you know, guys, what I'm talking about, the portable, the N-Gage, that's it, the N-Gage, the run for its money. See, it's jet lag, I'm real tired, the N-Gage for the run for its money, and that's what we were all saying, is that thing could probably be turned into a cell phone pretty easily, and that would be a great cell phone. So anyhow, after that, we went back to the PC area. because we actually wanted to get something to eat and get something to drink. And there's no food. There's basically no food in the console area. And the Galaxy Cafe and all the other food areas were closed. So 70,000 people, 75,000 people, and there's three areas to eat, and that's it. So you can imagine, we went there, the lines were horribly long, unbelievably, but luckily my Blizzard friends remembered, hey, wait a second, they have free drinks all they want. Duh. So we went over to the booth and we got some nice free drinks. So that took care of that. We decided, well, we wait a while before we eat. By now, it was around noon or so. And we decided to sort of walk around and check out what else there was. So let me see. Let me see my notes again. Sorry for going through all this. So of the games I did see, So the thing that's surprising is that the booths that usually are really good weren't so hot this year. The Blizzard booth is fine. It was a lot smaller than it's been in the last couple of years. They have a lot of Ghosts there, StarCraft Ghosts, which looks actually very, very good. And it looks like it's just about complete. That's something else. The game is definitely coming out soon. It looked very good. But their booth was much smaller than usual. EA's booth was weird. They've actually never changed their booth, or when they change it, they usually change it just a little bit. They usually have a huge open area with a humongous video screen, and you can just sit there and watch it. And then throughout, you know, imagine a rotunda with this big video screen, and then around the rotunda, they have games you can play on both sides. This year, they have this 360-degree projector, and you can walk in and actually see the video being played above you, and then underneath there's the games you can play. There was only about 6 games there, though, and the rotunda, at first it seemed kind of weird, but actually having everything around you 360 degrees is pretty cool, especially when you have the racing games, and then you can actually see in front of you, the side of you, and you actually look behind you, and you can see, you know, the cars going behind you. So that was pretty cool. Another thing they did, which was nice, is they actually put the subwoofers in the floor, so they actually can feel the vibrations through the floor. So again, that actually changed my mind. It was like, at first I thought it was kind of weird because it was this packed area. It was enclosed. And anything enclosed in E3 really doesn't usually work that well, because it just gets hot and people all get all jammed together. And, you know, it's better to have it open, in my opinion. But that actually worked out pretty well. But the other thing that I didn't like about the EA is usually their loop, where they have a loop there on their projector, and they show all the games coming up for the next year. And usually what they'll do is that game loop will be around, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 minutes long. It was only like maybe 5-10 minutes long this year. It was very fast too. They normally would show quite a bit of these games, but they were just like jumping from game to game really quickly. And of course, half the games are sports games. So, you know, there was really nothing new there that was being shown. And the other thing is, Spore is nowhere to be found. There's nothing on Spore anywhere in the booth, which means it's definitely coming out next year, because there's not even a peep, not a poster, nothing. There's no way that game's coming out this year, because if they're not even going to have a poster of it, there's no way it's going to happen. It's coming out next year. I can pretty much guarantee it. I'm going to find out a lot more tomorrow, and I'll talk about that a little bit. So from there, we walked around. So again, EA's booth was kind of we saw Activision. Activision looked nice. They always change their booth around every year. Actually, everyone else, like the rest of the people, like Namco, NCSoft, etc., they always change their booths around, so it's always a little bit different. I went to NCSoft. NCSoft booth is actually very nice. I really like the way they segment out each game, and they have a sort of a separate station for each game. And let's go through what I spoke to them. I went to the Guild Wars guys. And the Guild Wars guys didn't really have any new content. They told me, I talked to them a bit, they're going to try to release new content between every 6 and 9 months, the new buyable content. And that will be major upgrades. So that's actually how Guild Wars is making money. They don't charge you a monthly fee. Instead, they're going to have new content upgrades, major content upgrades that you purchase. And you'll be able to purchase them either in the store or online. And they're also going to have a pretty major free upgrade in a couple of weeks/months of new sections, and there's going to be a video of that. There's already some talk and screenshots and stuff on their Guild Wars website if you want to check it out. So I talked to them and actually told them some of my opinions and gave them two big hints. I said, look, they say, oh yeah, we're always changing the game, and they are. Every time I play it, it's a little bit different. And I said, the two things they need to do is they need to make it that you can actually change the controllers, because right now you can change the button configurations, but you can't add a mouse click or any mouse controls, which drives me crazy. So for instance, I use the side mouse button for auto run, so I told them they should be able to fix that. And the other thing that they need to do is they need to fix the having a total mind blank. Oh, that when friends come on, you need to actually have it so that it dings or gives you some visual cue or audio cue, because right now you can be playing for hours and your friends can be talking to you, and if you're not looking down at the little chat area, you'll never know it. So we'll see. I'm sure those actually, they were taking notes, so I bet you those things will come in, maybe not tomorrow, but they'll probably be put in the game, which is pretty cool. Then went over to the City of Villains area. City of Villains looked excellent, really looked awesome. I like City of Heroes quite a bit. I think it's sort of a repetitive game, but there's actually the core kernel of the game is very good. And since there's no inventory system in City of Heroes, it allows the developers to spend a lot less time worrying about developing and balancing the game. Not developing, but a lot less time balancing the game, so they can spend a lot more time actually adding new content, which is what they've been doing. So again, it's a pretty brilliant concept of the way they designed it, so they can continuously update the game over and over again. The City of Villains looks great. The actual villains look really cool. They have some pretty cool costumes and outfits, and you can build your base, and I was able to fool around with that, and that's really amazing. I've never seen anything quite like that. You actually can build your entire base, and that's your base of operations, and then other, you know, the City of Heroes guys can come in and attack you in your base and destroy your base. So, and there was some competitions, this PvP competition going on. In fact, if you played PvP and won, I think you had to play with four people, and if you won the PvP, you were then given a cloak. And you had to wear the cloak around E3, which was kind of weird. So you see these people wearing these superhero capes. It was pretty funny. So you're wearing this cloak/cape. And then if they pick you, then you get put into the City of Villains beta right away. So it was pretty cool. I've never seen anything quite like that before. So that was a nice little twist. So the City of Villains definitely looks like an excellent, excellent game. What else did I do? Oh yes, we walked over to see the Hellgate London. That's that new game by Bill Roper from Blizzard, the guy who did Diablo basically. And I have to say, I was stunned actually how good the game looked. It really, really looked good. It's interesting because it's basically 3D Diablo in many ways. Is that it takes place above ground. It's a shooter, but then you collect items, and they're going to have over 100 weapons in the game, base weapons, they said. Right now they had over, I think, 25 weapons that were already in the game, and they were going to have over 100 in the final game. You can two-fist weapons, so I had a plague gun in one hand that was actually shooting out plagues, and then, you know, regular machine gun in another hand, and all the levels are randomly, dynamically generated, and that's pretty cool because they're 3D, so again, it's like Diablo, they're randomly generated, and then that's 100 base weapons, and then, of course, Diablo style, they'll be upgradable, and, you know, the names will be changed and stuff depending upon how it changes your stats, but it's a role-playing game, too. So I was pleasantly surprised. The engine, of course, is custom, and it looked really far along. I was kind of surprised, and actually all my friends that were with me were pretty stunned, too, how good it looked. So that one really went up in my book as one that I'm definitely going to be watching out for. So it's a while before that's coming out, though. From my notes, it's probably not coming out till next year at the earliest. So then we walked around a bit more, and the one that I couldn't find, because again, it's just such a mess. It's just like you can be walking around for all 3 days, and I guarantee the very last day you'll find new stuff. I mean, it's just that big, E3. But the one thing I did find, was Microsoft's PC games, because there was a lot of those I was very interested in. And I actually, last year they actually had the PC games inside the Xbox booth, sort of in the back, and I couldn't find it. And I kept looking, and we eventually found that it was all the way in the back, and it was called Windows for Games or something like that. It was basically, it was like a Windows booth for games. So it was sort of a strange title, but there were the games I was really looking for. And there was, let me see, where's my notes? Here we go. Rise of Legends, which is the sequel to Rise of Nations, Dungeon Siege 2, and Age of Empires 3. Those were the games I was really interested, the PC games I was really interested in seeing. I'm sure a lot of you have seen the graphics for them. The Age of Empires 3 graphics look absolutely stunning beyond belief. The Rise of Legends was just announced about a week or two ago. That looks stunning beyond belief. Dungeon Siege 2, I played it last year, and I know it's close to completion. I actually liked Dungeon Siege quite a bit, the first one. Sort of mindless, but I kind of liked it. And so I was looking forward to that, and I have to tell you, all three of these games exceeded by far my expectations. I'll go through each one in detail. First of all, The Rise of Legends. The Rise of Legends is a sequel to Rise of Nations. It is different, though. The game, instead of it taking place sort of in the real world like the original game did, is that it's taking place in a fantasy world. There's four different races you can be. Two of them were actually on display. They had what's called the Da Vinci's, which is all this technology based on like Da Vinci's drawings. They had these Arabian magicians, and again, it was magic, and it was sort of based on a Arabian Nights culture with dragons, and sort of, it looked like Arabian architecture. They said there was two, and those two were actually on display, and you can play them. The other two that weren't there, there was a high tech, that was going to be like a futuristic high tech society, and then there was going to be an earth magic society. So Rise of Legends is, it's based off the same engine, you know, in some ways. It's not actually, the graphics engine is completely different, but the actual, you know, gameplay itself, it's an RTS. You know, it's an RTS where you're building a city and you're competing and you're trying to beat out the other people. But the thing is, and if you've seen the graphics of this game, I mean, definitely go and find it. It is unbelievable. And to see it in motion, it's stunning. I mean, it is really stunning. The one thing they did is that the cities, when you build a city, they're not independent buildings. They actually connect them. So if you build, you know, the standard RTS game format is that if you build, you know, two or three houses next to each other, they just sort of sit there and they're standard and they're on their own. And if you're going to build like a guild hall and you build a barracks, none of them are connected, or maybe they have a road or something. Now in this game, how it works is if you build these separate parts, what it actually does is it builds roads and connections and pipes and all this crazy stuff that connects all the buildings. So you can put five buildings that have nothing to do with each other, but the game will automatically connect them and mesh them together so it looks like it's a real city. And before you know it, you can put down five buildings and it really looks like this huge built-up city. It's a small touch, but it looks gorgeous. The units were crazy cool. They had this gun that they showed the ultimate weapons, and for instance, for the Da Vinci's, they had this ultimate weapon, was this gigantic gun that basically took up actually, that wasn't the ultimate weapon, that was the second ultimate weapon that took up about this half of the screen, and it took about 20 seconds to load, and when it went off, it was pretty impressive. It was a gigantic cannon. The actual ultimate weapon looked like a huge mechanical spider that would walk, and it took up the entire screen, and it was a huge mechanical spider that would walk up and just destroy the competitive city. The actual magician city, their ultimate weapon was a ancient glass dragon that would like store up its power and shoot and destroy anything in its path. Again, that game comes out, I believe, spring 2006 is when the game actually comes out. But the graphics on that one were astounding. Then next up, Dungeon Siege 2. Dungeon Siege 2 comes out in August. And for those of you who played the original Dungeon Siege, it did a lot of really good things. It was made by the same guy who did Total Annihilation, which I love. I mean, I think it's probably the best RTS of all time. And they did a lot of really interesting things. You know, the graphics were really beautiful for the time. There was no loading in the game whatsoever. It was a very long game. It sort of had Diablo-esque elements to it. But the one thing is that a lot of people complained is that the game almost played itself. It was mindless. I mean, I have to admit, even when I played it, it was a very mindless type game, but it was kind of fun. And there was just something about it, though. It was just, I just liked the creatures, and I liked the non-loading aspect and things like that. Dungeon Siege 2, they really listened to the people. They really added a lot to the game. It looks beautiful. There's much smaller parties. Instead of having parties of 8 people, you actually have a party of 4, and then eventually 5, then 6. Instead of you having a pet, which is a donkey in the original one, you can actually take the donkey and or you can get like scorpions and things like that. And pretty brilliant idea is that your leftover junk that you don't need anymore, instead of selling it for gold, you could actually feed it to your pet, and that will make your pet stronger. So you can just, it's like a trash compactor. You just throw all your extra junk into it. The single player campaign looks pretty big. There was a lot more depth to it. It was just much, the graphics were more beautiful. It really looked like a great game. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. And they're already working on an expansion pack, which will come out in 1 year. So that comes out in August. And again, if you like your standard hack and slash Diablo type games, I would definitely check that one out. But last but not least, Age of Empires 3. Wow. Now, for those of you who probably saw the graphics on this thing, I mean, the graphics are beyond belief insanely outstanding. I mean, the game is just incredible. I mean, I've seen some people posting that there's no way this game could look this good and it's not going to animate that great. I have to tell you right now, everyone out there, that the game actually looks better than the pictures can do justice to it. It is really that good. And I was talking to the guys and they said their goal is to make this the best looking game of all time. And then they said it's gonna, you know, they want it to look better than anything that's out there. And you know what? I think they're right. I think it is going to be the very best. And it's interesting because they actually show that everything is dynamic, the lighting, the shadows, everything. So it sort of has that effect to it. Let me go into, before I get into that, it takes place in the years 1500 to 1850. There's 5 ages. It comes out, Age of Empires 3 comes out in the holidays of 2005, so it comes out pretty soon. Let me go through. The single player campaign has 3 main chapters, and you actually follow a family that comes to America from the 1500s to the 1850s. And throughout, you know, so you get to learn how to play the game. But there's actually 8 cultures you can play. You can play England, France, Germany, Spain, Russia, Portugal. You can play the Dutch, and you can play the Ottoman Empire. So those are the 8 different empires you can be throughout the game. The actual single player campaign will have, right now they have 32 campaigns. They said that might go down to 30, it might go up to 35, somewhere in there. But the actual visuals of the game are stunning. One thing they did is they actually have the Havix physics engine in there, and it really makes a big difference. For instance, they went over and they fired some cannonballs at a building, and every single time you hit the building, different things would fall apart. Everything's destructible too. So when they hit the building, actually they'll hit the part of the roof off, and you can just see, so the actual top of the roof will come off the building, and then you can see the rafters inside the building, and it's on fire. And little things like that were absolutely astounding. And every time you hit the building, it broke apart in a different way. Eventually, if you hit the building enough and it runs out of hit points, the entire building will collapse upon itself and disappear. Something else that is like these small little issues, small little details, is that, for instance, when you're firing cannonballs, the cannonballs will continuously go and hit the building and react to the physics of the building. For instance, there's a building, and then they had a column of troops behind the building. So what they were doing is they were actually firing the cannonballs at the building. The cannonballs would sometimes go through the building and then hit the troops on the other side, killing the troops. So it's like these little details like that that were just really amazing. And the actual graphics on the troops, these little troops, everything is destructible and everything has separate parts. In fact, when the troops would go flying, you would actually see their hats and the gun go flying separately. So this little troop, this like hat would go and a gun would go and the troop would go in all these different directions. And it's really impressive when you see, you know, 100 troops firing and killing each other, and you see all their little components getting broken down. Just an absolutely beautiful game. And there was all these other little things, like there was herds, and if you feed the herds over time, like herds of buffalo, they actually will get fatter, and it was pretty funny. Also that they're scared of you. It's like there's a herd of buffalo grazing by the water, and you want to go hunt them, and you shoot one, the rest of the buffalo will stampede away. And they were showing a multiplayer game where one guy actually went up and stole the herd. He actually snuck around and started to stampede the guy's herd towards his own land. So he stole the herd, and so the other guy didn't know, he came back and it was gone. So again, it was fun little things like that. The actual gameplay looked just fantastic. It was silky smooth. One thing that was interesting is that you now go to your home city for major tech upgrades. You just press a button and it'll bring you, for instance, if you're Russia, you can do small tech upgrades actually on the game itself, like in your, you know, actually in the game area. But if you want to do a major tech upgrade, you hit a button and it brings you back to Moscow or Leningrad, I forgot where, but anyhow, it brings you back to your home city, and that's where the major tech upgrades occur. So like if you're playing England, when you press the button and it brings you back to London. Each one of these cities is stunningly beautiful, fully 3D. You can click in, you can zoom in through the cities, just sort of see. You see people walking in and out of the buildings. I mean, it's incredible. The multiplayer aspects of the games, you can play deathmatch, you can play supremacy. They will have, and I asked them how they're going to do it, like what service they're going to use. They're going to be using the Age of Empires 3 matchmaking service. They're making their own service. It's going to be like Battle.net. So they're going to have ladders, they're going to have rankings, they're going to have clan support, they're going to have tournaments, everything. So, you know, and actually that's something I did find a lot of people were doing that this year. A lot of people were no longer going to be using some of the other people I was talking to. They're using their own systems, and they're all kind of going the Battle.net way, where they're going to do the multiplayer on their own network. They're not using someone else's. Again, very, very interesting. So those three games, I would say, definitely look out for. I mean, I just can't believe how good those games looked, all three of them. So for the rest of the day, walked around a bit more. Saw quite a bit. A few things of note. Katamari Damacy, the sequel. It's, I think, called We Love Katamari, or I Love Katamari, something like that. It looked pretty fun. It definitely looked like it was an upgraded, sort of the same version, but an upgraded version. Played that a bit. Soul Calibur 3 was playable on the floor in the Namco booth. That looked quite good. I did see Black and White 2. Black and White 2 looked exactly what I've seen at GDC. I hate to say it, but it looks okay. It's sort of in a weird location. It was sort of being demoed in sort of a weird area. I'm going to try to maybe sit down and play with it a little bit more detail, but it just doesn't look done. I mean, it looks like there's aspects. It looks like some of it's completely done and other aspects of it are not completely done. That might just be the demo build. And that's something you have to remember at E3, is that these are demos, and these are demos that are made specifically for E3, every single one of them. So I've seen demos at E3 that stink and the actual game turns out to be fantastic. I've also seen the opposite, unfortunately, where the demos look fantastic and the game stinks. So I don't know. I know some of you might be disappointed for me to say this, but I'll take a look at it a little bit more detail. The one good thing they did see was Heroes of Might and Magic 5. It was a sort of a canned demo, but the game actually looked beautiful. Graphics were fantastic. That's one of my favorite games of all time, too. Heroes of Might and Magic 3, I played for probably 100 hours. Actually, 2 and 3 I played for many, many hours. 4 I played quite a bit as well. But, you know, it's the exact same. It had 6 different people you can play. There was humans, demons, and a whole new race. They also had Ubisoft was having their own matchmaking service, just like everyone else. That's scheduled to come out either January or February of 2006. And finally, The other one I'd say that it was kind of interesting is I saw The Outfit, which is a Xbox 360 game. It's Relic's new game. It's sort of like they said it was like World War II meets the A-Team, if that makes sense. It actually looked okay. It was weird because it was a sit-down demo. It was sort of in a theater, and the demos on the outside looked fantastic. And then we sat down in the theater, and you can tell it definitely wasn't optimized yet for the Xbox 360, and it looked okay. But that one looks like it has promise. It looks like it just needs to be really tweaked quite a bit, and then it'll be good. So let me see. What else do I have? Anything else more in my notes? Oh yeah, so Half-Life 2: The Lost Coast. That's the, the new expansion pack for Half-Life 2. It looked like Half-Life. You know, it looked, don't get me wrong, looked fantastic, but it looked like Half-Life. Let's see. Anything else? Oh yeah, I tried to win a Alienware laptop that was signed by Bill Gates. And didn't, so that's that, and that's sort of it. I spent a lot of time sort of walking around, talking to people, and just sort of getting a feeling for the actual place, and I was just see where everything was, because, I mean, even by the end of the day, I was like, what, where'd those games come from? I mean, it's crazy, it's just so big. Tomorrow I'm going to go and really cover the console area. I'm going to go check that out a lot more. And then also I have my meeting with Will Wright. That's right. My meeting with Will Wright to have my private demo of Spore. So I'm pretty excited about that, you might say. And actually just got an email saying, hey, we want you, come on over. We are very interested in talking to you and showing you Spore. So I'm very excited. I actually have everyone's questions from the website. I'm going to, pare them down, try to ask a few, see what I can get out there, and then I'll do a podcast just on Spore. Probably it's going to take me a little while to digest everything, and I want to put that one together nice and professional, so you guys have a nice outline, step by step of everything I saw, everything that was new, all the questions are answered and such. So it's probably not going to be as haphazard as, say, this one. So I'm going to take my little time on that. That'll probably come out Friday or so. But do look for that. And with that, I think I'm going to call it a night, just because this is going on for a while, like 42 minutes. I'm pretty hoarse. I'm exhausted. I got to go to sleep and I need rest. So this is, once again, this is Gaming Steve, Steven Glicker, signing off from LA, from E3, day one. I will see you guys all tomorrow when I cover day two at E3. See ya.